It's good to see you all. Glenn Graham, you're finally on the screen. And Larry, how's Jean doing? We'll have to find out later. So good to see you. And then the whole crowd here. We're being attacked by millions of little bugs. I just had one in my ear. It was probably trying to get into my brain, but it couldn't find it. I've been really feeling kind of heavy these days, partly because of all the things that are happening and the people that have died, but also because I feel like, by and large, the church is not prepared for the things that Jesus actually prophesied. We can forget that Jesus, when he was walking the earth and along those dusty roads in Israel with a bunch of smelly guys who had never discovered deodorant, that they actually were walking in the company of a prophet who not only could do signs and wonders, but who also foresaw what was happening in people's hearts, but he also knew what was happening in the future. And so in Luke chapter 21, Jesus takes the opportunity when the disciples point out a poor widow who dropped some money in the temple treasury to tell them that that temple was going to be destroyed. And he then goes on to tell them that there are going to be a lot of disasters that come. And we've had a long period of prosperity and peace in Canada. Ever since the Second World War, we have been increasing in economic wealth, in possibilities for education, all kinds of amazing discoveries that affect our health and improve our quality of life. All kinds of improvements in infrastructure so that we don't have brownouts from lack of electricity like we did in Toronto when I was growing up. We don't have bread men going down the road with horses, pulling their wagons, with the horses having little bags on the back of their bums in order to contain what horses normally produce. All kinds of things we've seen changes in. And I can remember particularly when they discovered the polio vaccine. And my parents drew a huge breath of relief because they used to send me to the farm in the summer in order to get me out of downtown Toronto and out of the range of the virus that caused, or bacteria, I don't know, whichever, that caused polio. And so we've seen all these things and we have become used to them as being the standard operating procedure for life in Canada. But when Jesus saw this poor widow put her money in the treasury out of respect for God, because that was his dwelling place, he told them, "Not one stone will be left upon another." I've recently been reading Josephus, who was a Jewish historian of the generation following Jesus. And he lived through the destruction of Jerusalem, and he recorded it graphically in his book called The Jewish Wars, because there was so much infighting among the Jews that the Romans were offended by the way that they treated each other. And each time the Jews would make a treaty with the Romans to surrender, and the Romans went to take occupation of the city, the Jews massacred the Roman ambassadors who went. And finally, the Roman soldiers became so incensed that when they finally broke through, they went into the city and they set fire to the temple. They set fire to the porticos of the temple. And false prophets had said to the people, if you take shelter in the temple, you will be safe, because God will always protect his temple. Because they were quoting the Psalms that belong to a different time and a different place. And then when the Roman soldiers, without the permission of the general, threw torches into the temple and into the porticos, 5,000, mostly women and children, died. And it's interesting that in Luke chapter 21, Jesus says that the people of the prince who will come will destroy the temple. Even in that one little sidelight, Jesus was accurate in his prediction. We forget that Jesus, as we receive him and acknowledge him, was prophet, priest, and king. And so when he says in the early part of Matthew 21, he says, in the future, the races will make war with one another. We see that happening in the United States. We've seen it happen in Rwanda. We've seen it happen in other places of the world, as the ethnos, the people, the races make war with one another. And then he says kingdom will rise against kingdom. And he means political entities that are comprised of many races. Political entities that are comprised of many races. And we see that with the rivalries that are taking place between China and the United States, and Russia and the United States, and many other nations as they battle one another, even between Sunnis and Shia in the Middle East and around the world. And then Jesus said, there will be earthquakes in many places. And we recognize that there are huge earthquakes that geologists are predicting that have not yet happened, but they're right on the verge of happening. And the geologists say they're overdue. The big Pacific earthquake off California and off British Columbia, when that happens, that will be major. And then he said there will be famines. And right now in many parts of the world, there are famines, partly because of the plague of locusts that has come into the Middle East and is now moving into India. And then he says there will be epidemics. In some, like the NIV, it says a different word, but in New Living Translation, it translates it into a modern form and says, and there will be epidemics in various places around the world. And then he said, there will be fearful events. And there are fearful events. I watched on television last night the collapse of the largest ice shelf in the Arctic, an area that is as big as the whole city of New York, fell into the ocean. So whether you believe in global warming or not, something's happening up there. You just ask the Inuit brothers who are watching it happen. So there are fearful events that are happening. And then it says there will be signs in the heavens. Signs in the heavens to them. And we have to remember one of the principles of interpretation, that we don't take what they said and put a modern spin on it. You have to read scripture from the point of view of the speaker and their knowledge and their language and the people who are hearing and their understanding. And Jesus said, there will be fearful events in the heavens. Recently, well, just in the last few years, there was a lot of stir about three blood moons that fell on Jewish holidays. There are other events that are happening. They thought that eclipses were a sign of great portent, of great meaning, affecting the welfare of nations. And then they thought that comets and comets in the heavens indicated particular events. Jesus says that people will be afraid because they will be watching the heavens. And then he says, particular to the disciples, and there will be persecutions. We don't know what that is. We don't know what the church in China has gone through. When we were in Japan some years ago, there was a leader from China, from one of the huge host church movements. It was the first time that he had been outside China, first time that he'd ever been granted a visa. He was celebrating his 65th anniversary in Japan. And you know that there is still huge tensions between Japan and China. And he had spent most of his life, more time in prison, being tortured and confined, than out of prison. And he was spending his 65th anniversary at the gathering in Japan. And so many other places where there are persecutions. And we haven't seen those. But we can feel it as we begin to see pressure brought upon us in our churches, toward our children, toward our freedoms, toward our free speech. And all these things are happening to us, and we're beginning to feel it. But Jesus said, you will feel and you will see all these things. And then he gave to his disciples six things that he wanted us to do. The first is be careful. Be careful. Some people would say, well, you shouldn't be full of care. But there's a difference between the care that comes from wisdom and the care that comes from worry. There's a difference in the care that comes from wisdom and the care that comes from worry. And Jesus said, be careful. Watch what's happening. As you read Luke 21 or Matthew 24, some people get confused because they don't recognize the difference between these's and those's. There is a big difference between a thing that is here and a thing that is there. Something that is here and something that is there. Something that is near, something that is far away. And then in time, something that is relevant and pertinent to the moment and something that is distant. If you read Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and the corresponding passage in Mark, you will have a greater understanding if you notice the difference between these and those, these days and those days, this and that. If you don't get that right, you will get very confused. But Jesus said, be careful or brace yourself. The prophets that I'm familiar with today, who still receive the word of the Lord, are saying that beginning at Tabernacles in September, the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, beginning then and going on to the end of the year, there are going to be two things happening. There's going to be great opportunity for the church. I think us meeting outside and showing people who are driving by that there are still people who are willing to come together to hear the word of the Lord, to worship God, and to have fellowship with each other, eyeball to eyeball. I think that says a lot to all the people who are passing. And also the pressure that is on people who connect by Zoom. You think that by Zoom, we can be talking to people in the Middle East. We can be talking to people in Africa and Europe. And all around the world, pastors are saying that they're getting many watchers on Zoom that would never come to a church service. But I wanted to read to you a prophecy that was given I always have trouble here. Oh, there we go. Sometimes my phone is not very obedient. In 1986, David Wilkerson, who wrote The Cross and the Switchblade, a respected statesman in the whole church and founder of a church in Times Square in Manhattan, said this: "I see a plague coming on the world, and the bars, churches, and government will be shut down. The plague will hit New York City and shake it like it has never been shaken. The plague is going to force prayerless believers into radical prayer and into their Bibles, and repentance will be the cry from the man of God in the pulpit. And out of it will come a third great awakening that will sweep America and the world." Now, that's a man of our own time, a man that we have heard of, a man that we can still go and visit, pastored by a guy from the Ottawa Valley. So David Wilkerson prophesied that this plague would come and it would devastate New York City. Is that an example of prophecy today? I would say it certainly is. It's a sign that God still speaks to his people and he gives us understanding of what he's doing in times and seasons. So what I would say is coming now, it would be wise for us to prepare ourselves for tensions, for pressures that will be coming on the whole world this fall. That it will begin noticeably around the Feast of Tabernacles. So Jesus said, be careful, be watchful. Then he said to the believers then, he said, stand firm. One of the things that happens when things shake is that people fall down. I was in the boat this past week fishing, and the boat took a sudden move, and I found myself losing my balance, and fortunately I grabbed the gunwale before I went into the water. But it was sudden. The boat shook under me. And right now there are many people who are being unsettled because everything that they had been counting on has been shaken. Their businesses, their jobs, their health, their family connections, all these things have been shaken. So Jesus said to the disciples, be careful. Then he said, stand firm. We need to know what the roots of our faith are. We need to review our catechisms. We need to review the scriptures, because the review is what Peter said he was responsible to do for his disciples in his day after the death of Jesus. He said, it's my responsibility as an elder to remind you of these things, even though you know them. Then Jesus said, as these things are happening, lift up your heads. It's an interesting picture. I suppose you've been to a parade, and in the parade, some little guy, some little kid won't be able to see, and his father will pick him up and put him on his shoulders so that he can see. Other people who are short will stand on tiptoe so that they can see over the crowd. And Jesus is saying, when you see these things happening, stand on tiptoe to look over the top of them, because your redemption is coming. Now, redemption has two senses in Scripture, one in which Jesus buys us back from under the wrath of God and the power of the enemy. But a second one is when our bodies are redeemed. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the redemption that comes when we see the kingdom of God come in its fullness. And then he says, watch your hearts. Chuck has been saying for weeks now, watch your hearts, because out of it come the affairs of life, the decisions of life. It comes out of our hearts. Our fears rest in our hearts. Our desires, our hopes rest in our hearts. And Jesus says, watch your hearts, because the affairs of life, the worries of life, and the comforts of life affect us deeply. And we need to watch our hearts so that we know what is lurking in the shadows. And one of the things that Jesus says, and the whole Bible explains, is that we don't know what's in our hearts until the fire starts. When the fire starts, we know what kind of dross is in us. We know what kind of things are lurking in our hearts. I've been so aware over the last few weeks of the things that lurk in my heart. All kinds of unrighteousness and lust and murder and unbelief and fear, and they all surface as the pressures come. Then Jesus said, watch and pray that you may escape. What are you watching for? We all are watchmen. We all are watchmen. We're looking at the things that are happening in our nation and around the world. What are we to say to one another? The night is coming, but so also is the day. The night is coming, but so is the day. It says, encourage one another as you see these days approaching. What we need to do is that we need to gather our children around, and we need to read Luke 21 to them. We need to say, the blessings that you've known may not always continue. Well, one of the things about the Zoom audience is that they're not getting rained on, so they're paying attention while everybody else is getting distracted by the rain. Jesus says, watch and pray that you may have these things. I believe that Jesus has given his Holy Spirit to us so that we can know what to do in these times. God will have instructions for you what to do in order to prepare for this fall, not just for your family, but also to share, to be able to be generous, because all of this lesson that Jesus taught started with one old lady who put her two pennies in the treasury. And Jesus said, you watch now, because she gave more than all the rich people. And so when Jesus is telling us to be aware, his purpose is so that we can be aware and be a source of encouragement and strength to the people around us. So pray together with your kids. I challenge you, fathers, to let your kids know that you're praying for them regularly. And pray for the specifics in their lives and for your grandkids. And then pray together as husbands and wives. Pray for the family, pray for the neighbors, but pray together. And then express your faith by sharing. Be aware that you, as a believer, are one of the lights that Jesus has placed in the world. And so let your care be manifest in provision, not in fear. And then out of this, have confidence in the sovereignty of God over all these things. Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns. Soak yourself in worship music that declares the greatness and the glory of God. And then declare his goodness, even in the midst of difficulty. Declare that God is good and God is strong. And then for your own self, recognize that not only does God show his favor on us by the blessings he gives us, but he also shows his glory, so that when we with Paul can say, I know how to be in want, and I know how to abound. So that in the midst of the difficulty, we're declaring still the goodness and the righteousness and the power of God. This is a time when the darkness is growing deeper, but also the light is dawning and shining upon the people of God. So may you be glorious with the light of his face shining in you and through you to the world all around you. May you be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen.